Now, all of these aspects highlight the benefit of the necessity, actually, of learning, perfecting, and focusing on the wudu. And again, the basis of these actions is the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the sixth ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha kumtum ila salati, faghsilu wujuhakum. O you who believe, when you stand for salah, wash your faces. Wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiqi, and wash your hands to your elbows. Wamsahu bi ru'usikum, and wipe your heads. Wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bain, and wash your feet up into your ankles. Now, the four acts that are just listed in this ayah, which I just read, these are considered the mandatory acts of wudu, the fara'id of wudu. And so, before we actually go on, I'd like to just basically, we'll close this session with a discussion of these terms. Like, what do you mean when you call something farad? What do you mean when you call something wajib? What do you mean when you call something sunnah? I think you should know what they mean because you use these terms all the time. We just randomly throw them out. But these terms are actually very, very specific and defined terms. So, you know, it would take us a month to have a class just on these terms. But what I want to do is give you the gist of what they mean within fiqh, and then inshallah tomorrow we'll go into the details of how to perform the wudu step by step. So there are actually six major classifications of deeds within the Sharia. The first one is farad. And actually they're classified by their ruling, and I'll explain to you in a minute. The first one is farad. The second one is wajib. The third is sunnah. The fourth is mubah, which means neutral. The fifth is makruh, which means disliked. And the sixth is haram. Now these are very, very major categories. Within them there are subcategories as well. But if you have an action, any act that you want to do, you can classify it into one of these six categories. Either it will be farad, which means mandatory, or it'll be wajib, which means necessary, or it'll be sunnah, which means established by the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it'll be mubah, which means neutral, there's no fiqhi ruling either way, or it'll be makruh, which means disliked. And dislike doesn't mean I dislike it or you dislike it. Dislike means dislike to Allah and His Messenger. That's what we mean by makruh. And or the sixth, it'll be haram, prohibited by the Sharia, prohibited by Allah or His Messenger. In order to establish an action as farad, when the ulama look at the text, they look at the Quran and the hadith, and they want to classify something as farad, they need two things. There are two things that you need in order to establish an action as farad. The very first thing that is mandatory to establish an act as farad is that you need a definite command. Within the Quran, there has to be a command. Or within, let's say, within the proof, there has to be a command commanding the act. For example, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha kumtum ila salah, faghsilu. Faghsilu is the command. Wash. Wash your faces. So you need to have a command, a definite command requiring that act. So that's the first thing to establish something as farad. The second thing is that you need to have certainty of the proof that is establishing that command. So let me touch on this for a minute, and this will probably be the major portion of our discussion because it's so important. But you need to have a proof that has a characteristic called tawatur. Tawatur. This is a very important term within our Sharia, and you should try to understand what I'm going to say. So listen carefully. Tawatur means that you have some source of information that it's related to you by so many chains of transmission that there is no way that piece of information can be false. It's impossible. For example, let me give you a common everyday example so that you get a good idea of what I mean. This happened to me actually a few weeks ago. I was actually talking to one of my coworkers, and I told my coworker that, you know, I need to get home, or I need to get to my house in order to break my fast. I'd like to be able to get home at that time, but there's very bad traffic. So usually I take one expressway, but today I think I'll take Lakeshore Drive. So I told this to my coworker. And then my coworker said to me, oh, you don't want to take Lakeshore Drive, because I heard that there was a water pipe had burst on Lakeshore Drive, and there's massive delays on that highway. So now somebody's told me a piece of information. Then later on, I was sitting with another group of coworkers, and they said, wow, you know, I was on Lakeshore Drive today. It was such a headache. I got stuck and it was just a big mess and it doesn't look like it's going to be cleaned up for a while. So now I got a confirmation. Then, as I was walking in the elevator, I heard two patients saying, you know, we better not go home by Lakeshore Drive because of that big water pipe burst. So that was a third confirmation. And then, as I was leaving the building, I heard the security guard telling another security guard, hey man, make sure you don't take Lakeshore Drive. So that was a fourth confirmation. So all of these sources began to come together and I started thinking, there's no way this can be made up. You know, that first person who told me can't be mistaken. It's impossible because everybody is saying it on so many different occasions and from so many different places that there's no way that all those people got in a room together and made up this information. It has to be true. And so that level of information reached a degree of called tawatur in Islam, which means that now I am so certain that this information is true that it has reached a level of verification that I don't have any more doubt that it could be false. That's called tawatur. So you need tawatur in order to establish something as farad. You need two things. You need a command, but that command has to come in something that has tawatur within it. And there are only two things in our Sharia that have tawatur. Number one, every single ayah of the Holy Quran has been transmitted to us by tawatur. There are multiple lines of transmission from so many places in the world that there is no way that an ayah can be false. Meaning, you've got, now it's easy because you have a written version of the Quran, but you have to imagine yourself 50 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then you go to Syria, and you hear them reciting the exact same Quran that you hear them reciting in Jerusalem, that you hear them reciting in Mecca, that you hear them reciting in Medina, that you hear them reciting in Yemen, that you hear them reciting in Africa, and then you begin to realize that this must be all the essential Quran that was taken from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we mean by tawatur. And in fact, every single ayah of the Quran reaches the level of tawatur. And so this is why we say, if you have an injunction in the Quran, it automatically becomes farad. And this is why we say the Quran is the permanent and the highest level of source within this deen. Because when you find a command in the Quran, and then subsequently you see that it is the Quran, then it becomes mandatory upon you to follow it. It becomes established as a farad. Below that, you have also another source of law, which is the hadith. But the difference between the hadith and the Quran is that most of the hadith do not reach the level of tawatur. Most do not. Even if a hadith is sahih, it still does not reach the level of tawatur of the Holy Quran. Now, two things you should understand. First of all, the hadith and the Quran are equal in their being wahi. If the Prophet ﷺ commanded you, if he was here today, and he commanded you to do something, it would equal a command in the Quran. Because you would be definite, you would definitely know that he told you to do that. You don't need tawatur if the Prophet ﷺ is directly in front of you. If the Prophet ﷺ tells you to do something, or the Quran tells you to do something, both of those sources are sources of law, and they're equal in their being wahi. Both are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're different ways, like I spoke of last night. One is recited, the other is not in the salah. One is the exact word of Allah, the other is the inspired words and actions from Allah, etc. But both of them are dominant sources which can make something farad. The only thing difference is that all of the Quran has tawatur. Because now we're far from the Prophet ﷺ, right? We're developing this fiqh 50, 60 years after the Prophet ﷺ. So, because the Quran has tawatur and most hadith don't, we cannot equate the hadith with the Quran as means of establishing a law. Now this is very important. So most hadith do not have tawatur. They can still establish something as wajib, but they cannot establish something as farad because they do not equal the level of the Quran. So let me give you an example. Let me give you some examples now to highlight these principles. Once you understand this principle, then everything becomes easy. So this much should be clear. Now, in the case of farad, let's take anything that's farad. In the Holy Quran, and let me take the example of salah to make it easy. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّنَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Read what is easy from the Qur'an. This is a command. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّنَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And it applies to salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believers, read whatever is easy from the Qur'an in your salah. So now from this ruling, we see that we have a definite command. Allah is commanding us to read. And we have a definite source. We have an ayah of the Quran, which is, has the level of tawatur necessary to establish something as fard within this deen. So based on that, we establish the principle within our fiqh that you have to read at least three ayat. Why three ayat? Because three ayat equal the Quran. You know, if it's one ayah, it may or may not be the Quran. Two ayahs, you know, can be from the Quran, but it's not. You call it the Quran when it's actually three ayahs. Meaning the shortest surah is three ayahs. You call that a portion of the Quran. So we establish that the minimum that you have to read in salah is three ayahs. So now we've read the entire Quran and we found this one thing referring to recitation during the salah. So then we stop. Then we begin to open the books of fiqh, of hadith. And we open the books of hadith and we say, okay, now what does the hadith say about what you have to read in your salah? Does the hadith tell us anything more? And so we begin to look through the books of hadith and we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There is no salah except with surah Fatiha. Meaning you have to read surah Fatiha. So this is a sahih hadith. It's sahih. It's a sahih hadith. We don't doubt it's being sound. But because the Quran has come to us with tawatur, with 100% certainty, with so many chains of transmission that there is no way it can be doubted, and this hadith has only come to us from a single chain of transmission, then we take the Quran and give it precedence, and we take the hadith and make it secondary. Another way to look at it is, the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayah, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنُ الْقُرْآنِ to so many sahaba, and then that subsequently got transmitted to so many other people that it was a dominant concept within the deen. Whereas this hadith was only told to one sahabi, who then subsequently told it to one other sahabi, or one other of the tabi'een, who then subsequently told it to many people. So that came with a single line of transmission until that line expanded two or three generations later. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted la salata illa bi fatihatil kitab to be established as farad, then he would have told everybody on so many occasions and made it common knowledge, like tawatur. You know, it would have reached the level of tawatur. Based on this, we come up with the ruling of what you have to read according to the Hanafi madhab. These are the principles of the Hanafi madhab, how they derive law from the Quran and hadith. And so what we say is, reciting at least three ayat in your every rak'ah is mandatory, because فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ commands you to do so. And reciting Surah Fatiha is wajib. We cannot push it to the level of farad because we don't have tawatur, but wajib in our classification means basically farad. It's a sound hadith, but we just don't have the level to push it to equal an ayah of the Quran. So we created one level below it and we call it wajib. In wajib, you have to do it. If you leave it, you are punished. And in fact, if you leave it, your salah doesn't occur. But we don't have the ability to push it up to the level of the Quran. And so therefore, if somebody debates us with it and says, no, it's not farad, it's sunnah, that debate can exist. Whereas, if somebody says to you, there's no recitation at all in the salah, they leave the fold of Islam, because they're denying an ayah of the Quran. But if somebody tells you, you don't have to recite Surah Fatiha in the Quran, they don't leave the fold of Islam, because they are only denying a hadith, and that hadith does not have tawatur. Okay? So there's room for debate in those areas. So it's a little bit weaker than the Quran, not because of the source, the Prophet ﷺ equals the Quran in source, but because of the fact that we received it only from a single chain of transmission, so we cannot equate that ayah with a verse of the Quran. Now there are other ahadith that we can, that reach the level of tawatur, and we're going to talk about it in detail when we come to wiping over the leather socks. So you keep these principles in your mind now and review them, and inshallah we're going to do a complete revision of what I just said in that particular topic. That's what we mean by farad and wajib. Below that, there's a level of sunnah. In order to establish something as sunnah, you have to have a recommendation. Okay? A recommendation and a proof that is either strong or weak. If the proof is very strong, then it becomes sunnah mu'akkada. And if the proof is a little bit less in its degree of strength, then it becomes sunnah ghayr mu'akkada, or something called mustahab. So this is the classification of sunnah. Mubah means neutral. Mubah means neutral. And what that means is the Sharia is quiet about it. You come to me and you say, you know, should I wear a gray vest or should I wear a dark blue vest? And I'll say, you know, this is mubah, whichever one you prefer. In the case of white, of course, I'll say the Prophet ﷺ, he preferred white. And he said, you know, that the white was his favorite color. And we know that from hadith, especially for those of you who sat in the sessions on Shema al-Tirmidhi that we had last year. But if you come to me and you say, you know, I'd like to know the ruling, should I buy a blue vest or a dark green vest, then I'll tell you, you know, this is mubah. You have a choice with, you know, which one you want to choose. It's neutral. The Sharia doesn't have a particular ruling here. Then you go in the opposite direction. You come to something called makruh, which is disliked. And for makruh, it's like the opposite of wajib and sunnah. Meaning, you have a proof, and that proof may be definite. It has its variations in its definiteness, and it's a recommendation that you avoid something. And so that becomes disliked. And haram is exactly opposite of farad. That you need a definite proof with tawatur, and you need a definite prohibition. It has to be telling you that you can't do this act, and that makes it haram. For example, hurrimat alaykum al-mayta, right? And then the ayah continues. So the dead animals are haram upon you. So here Allah clearly states in the Quran, hurrimat alaykum. It has been made haram upon you. And then lists these things. So you have an ayah of the Quran, which has tawatur, and then on top of that, you have a definite prohibition, and so that makes it haram.